If the law only reveals sin, not salvation, what will free you from guilt and bring real transformation? Will it be rules or will it be a redeemer? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington and Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington, FPIW.org, FPIWaction.org. Hope you check out our websites. It's a great place to activate your faith and to start a prayer ministry or an evangelism ministry or an outreach ministry. There's so much there on FPIW.org. In fact, I was just looking at this on my desk. This is our little menu of all the resources that we have built for you to be involved. It's 20-some pages of resources, and each one has 10 to 12 things on it. So it's just an awesome opportunity to get involved and really see your public square change because you're changing hearts. We are in a series called Abraham, Law Brings Wrath. Bum, bum, bum. And just powerful, powerful stuff. We've been studying this Abraham for quite some time because I think it's important. He's the father of our faith. So if you're enjoying these, subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender huddle. Go back and read Genesis 11, 26 through Genesis 25 if you'd like to get the whole context of Father Abraham's life. So we are in Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants, that he would be heir of the world, was not through the law. It was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Look at this. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there also is no violation. So did you know that the word law, or the law, is 230 times in the New Testament? That is absolutely amazing. The law is 230 times in the New Testament. Sometimes it could be talking about the whole Old Testament. Sometimes it's referring to the Torah, the Pentateuch, those kind of things. So I want you to think about how frequently the Bible in the New Testament talks about the law. So I did a little bit of word study on this. And we're going to start with Matthew 5:17. It says, don't misunderstand why I have come, says Jesus. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. Interesting. He didn't come to abolish, but to accomplish. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So the law has a purpose. Jesus came to accomplish that purpose. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. The golden rule, you might say. Matthew 7:12. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." I love this. So they found out who Moses wrote about and the prophets wrote about. That means when you go to your Old Testament, you should find Jesus hanging on that cross, resurrecting from the dead in the Old Testament. And so I want to encourage you, go back and look at Moses' writings and the prophets. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more and more abundant. Romans 5:20. So the purpose of the law here is given so that people would know that they're sinful. You know, it's just, it's a powerful tool to lead us to Christ. Well, then, am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful? Of course not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. What shows us our sin? The law. So if you're going down the road at 70 miles per hour and you come across a sign that says speed limit is 55, you now know that you broke the law and that convicts you. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had not said you must not covet. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death. Look at this. And the law gives sin its power. You say, wait a minute. I thought you said the law wasn't bad. Well, the law is like a mirror. It points us to our sin. Our reflection on that mirror and what we see is whether we're sinful or righteous in the sight of God. So when you think about this, for sin is this thing that results in death, and the law gives him power. What gives you the power to see what your reflection looks like? The mirror. It's just a vessel that reveals the reflection of what is already there. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen to that, right? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ gives us victory over sin and death? I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Remember, that's Galatians 2:21. Remember that the very essence that you have come to know Jesus Christ is because God has written his laws upon our heart. The Holy Spirit has used that conviction of that law written on our hearts to persuade and convince us in our mind that we need a Savior. And then we respond to that conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we turn in repentance and acknowledge that what the Holy Spirit says is true in the Word of God is true, and we can walk in those very things. So I love this. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for keeping the law could have made us right God, then make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ. Okay, here we go. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. So every time we miss that mark of the law, it pronounces a curse. Who rescues us? Christ rescues us from that curse that's pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. So when Jesus was hung on that cross, he took the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So that's Galatians 3:13. So as you think about the curse and you think about the law and you think about all these things that we can learn from, we simply learn from Abraham that Abraham had faith and the law came after faith, and that the law is our schoolmaster, we're going to see here, or our tutor to lead us to Christ. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. So the law protected us and it still protects us. I love 2 Corinthians 5 because it says, and the love of Christ constraineth us in the King James. And when you think of that constraineth, it's like fence posts around your life. It's that area around your life that really protects you from all the other stuff. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. So there is no contrast. There is no contradiction. There is no conflict. God's law is the mirror. It reveals your sinfulness and your need for a Savior. It does not save you. Notice the pattern here over and over and over again. It's our schoolmaster that leads us to Christ. Here it was. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian or our tutor or our schoolmaster until Christ came. So it led us to Christ. This whole law of God is what it's built to do. So let me ask you a question. When you go into the public square today, what are you going to lead with? Think about this. See, sometimes we forget that the good news is good news because the bad news is bad news. What do I mean by that? If someone doesn't understand that they are a sinner and in the need of a Savior, the good news doesn't sound very good. So as you're sharing Jesus today in the public square, think about this. Humbly express how you realized that you were a sinner. I usually do it this way. I started drinking when I was 12 years of age. I was a drunk for a lot of years. And I came to realize I had broken God's commandment, not just one of them, but all of them. And I needed a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. And Jesus was crucified for my sins, that he rose again that I may have eternal life. And I confess Jesus as Lord. He became boss over my life. He transformed me from the inside out and is transforming me from the inside out. And I am now made brand new. Sin is no longer my master. Jesus is. So that's one way to do it. Allow the law of God to conflict, and cleanse you. I think I meant the word convict, not conflict. Allow the law of God to convict you and cleanse you today. The law is your schoolmaster to lead you to Christ. So I hope that was helpful as we study the law a little bit today, and to realize how frequently it is in the New Testament. Go out there and make a disciple of someone. You know, go out there and find someone to share the love of Jesus Christ with. Today is the new day. It's a day of salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace that are new every morning. God, we run to you. We run to the Father, and we say yes to you. We say yes to the Father. Lord, thank you for your schoolmaster, the law that leads us to Christ. Thank you for showing us the speed limit sign. Thank you for telling us the rules to the game so that we could walk accordingly, not for salvation purpose, that's done through Jesus Christ, but being convicted of our sins so that we know to turn to our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, we pray for revival in Washington State. We pray for the 39 counties that, God, you would begin a work within them, that you would go before each and every county commissioner, each and every city council, each and every school board, that we would see revival in the hearts and lives of people, God. God, we thank you that you are with us and move upon us and shape us. And so we pray over each and every community on the east side, the west side, and the center, God, that we would be able to glorify you. We lift up Bob Ferguson to you today, God, and we pray for salvation over Bob. We pray that you would give him wisdom, that he would be able to walk in your ways, and Lord, that he would be a spark and a light for complete revival in Washington State. If not him, God, find someone in the House or the Senate or somewhere that will start that spark of revival. God, we know that if we don't change our hearts, we can't change anything in the public square. So change our hearts, oh God. Make them ever pure. And we just give them over to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I hope you have a great day. Go out there, lead someone to Jesus Christ. And most importantly, go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach. But you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.